Hello and welcome to the Health Witch Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Ashley Bissonette Murphy, and I am so excited to have Dr. Holly Kerr from Perth, Australia on the show today. And she is going to be sharing all her knowledge from a naturopathic, functional naturopathic perspective on skincare. So again, I'm really excited to have her here on the podcast. It was an absolute pleasure, and I hope you all enjoy it as well. All right. Well, thank you, Holly, for joining us on the Health Witch Podcast. If you could just take a minute or two to introduce yourself.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Holly. I'm from Western Australia, and I'm a functional naturopath. Currently not working in clinic right now, but I'm starting again at the end of September. I had a month off and it was really good, so I'm feeling refreshed. My main interests include acne and treating skin conditions because I feel like there isn't a one answer for these conditions, but they're treated like that. And my mission is to break this prescription cycle and really treat the root causes, because there is a lot of different multifactorial things that come into play. And that's me.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm gonna segue just because you had talked about medications. I think, you know, I've heard from a lot of people, birth control, go on birth control to clear up your acne. What's your take on that?
Well, it happened to me. I went on the OCP to suppress pretty much the sebum production from my skin. And I was not told that when you come off the pill, little young me, I actually suffered extreme acne coming off the pill, which was way worse than when I started the pill. So I was very confused. I don't believe in synthetic hormones at all. I think if we're suffering a problem at an adolescent age, that we should deal with that problem rather than dealing with it in 10 years. Because as you know, more research has come out that it's linked to, you know, these different cancers and other hormone and infertility problems. I really don't like the OCP, and I think I'd never tell people not to go on it or come off it, because I cannot do that as a naturopath in Australia, but I would just kind of help the side effects and help women wanting to come off the pill through nutrition and herbal support.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough education, at least in the States. You know, I was on birth control for many, many years, and they never told me the repercussions. So it was, take this pill, it will clear up your acne. And, you know, and I feel like it did for a while. And then when you approach the age of 35, they say, all right, it's time to get off it. You shouldn't be on it. But the thing is, they didn't tell me either that birth control would tax your liver so much. And usually if your liver is compromised, you do see acne and really skin conditions full force, right? So,
100%.
You know, yeah, and that's a part of the reason why I really got interested in herbalism and all those really kind of those different plants that would help clean out your liver. So your dandelions and your burdocks or any your yellow docks, you know, so those plants that are really beneficial. But yeah, I think I'm with you on the birth control stance.
100%. And to think that it suppresses ovulation for all those years, we naturally have these beautiful sex hormones that we need to survive pretty much, and they're literally cut off. So I think the adverse effects can be detrimental, and not even mentioning mental health as well.
Yes. And another great segue here. So what role does depression and anxiety and stress in general really play as far as our skin and our beauty?
Yeah, so obviously our face is exposed to the world every day. So, and with social media and all that into play, we're going to be self-conscious. We're going to be anxious about what we look like every day. So when you do have all this sort of stuff on your face and you don't know why, you can be quite angry at yourself and that's when you lose self-confidence and motivation, and yeah, it can be quite detrimental, especially if you put on other medication like the OCP and the Roaccutane. The mental health rates with people taking these sort of pills are so high in Australia. I'm not sure, I can't speak for both of us, but and actually when you are in that state of anxiety and depression, it's going to make the skin worse. You're not going to be recovering from it because you're in that constant state of SNS dominance and that fight or flight response. So when that happens, you're not going to be able to absorb the nutrients you need for the skin, and yeah, it can contribute to all those different problems. So yeah, it's definitely a big cycle. Yeah. But I think, yeah, seeing a naturopath or an integrative doctor can really help with the side effects for mental health. Yeah,
sure. And yeah, something else about Accutane, which I know is, it's big in this country as well, but it does tax your internal organs like you wouldn't believe. And you're supposed to go for follow-up blood tests and other tests to make sure that you're on track and that that medication is treating you well. And many adolescents or young adults don't do those follow-ups. So they could be potentially causing more health problems, definitely in the long run. But again, you know, it's right for some and not for others.
Yeah, 100%. I had a client that was on Roaccutane and wasn't aware of the side effects at all. And, you know, a lot of young people go on this harsh, harsh medication and they're drinking every weekend. And the liver, all their enzymes are just raised, and it's just so alarming. But, yeah, we're here to kind of break that sort of cycle. So hopefully we can do it.
Yeah. So I love asking this question because it really gives some insight into your life. But what does your ideal day look like? How do you take care of your health?
So recently it's been different because I actually had mold growing in my apartment, and being a naturopath, we know what mold can do to our respiratory and neurological, you know, that those sort of systems. And I went through a bit of a kind of mental health moment just recently because of this, and I just recently moved in with my boyfriend, so I'm still adapting to a routine that suits me and where I'm at, because we all have these sort of issues that we have to deal with even as a health professional. So yeah, I wake up at 7:30. I we'll go into the bathroom, and the first thing I'll say is some affirmations to myself, because I'm still battling bad skin even at 24. Because of the stress, it still is quite inflamed at the moment. But I know that will go. So yeah, I'll do some affirmations in the morning, and then I'll go to the coffee shop. And that's kind of the part of my morning that makes me happy, because I see a lot of families and dogs and kind of schools along the way. And there's a real sense of community where I live. And growing up a massive family, I do miss my parents who live very far away from me. So that kind of sparks some joy and sets me up for the morning. And then I'll do some work for about 6 hours, which is kind of branding my business and writing blogs for my website, the website that my clinic is actually operating from, not my own website, because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I haven't created one yet. It took me 2 years to create an Instagram account. So yeah, it's kind of hard sometimes. But yeah, but mainly to have some sort of structure in my day, I'll always make sure I have food prepared, because I get really hangry and I need my macronutrients and micronutrients and all my skin supplements. Like, I need to know that I'm getting that in, just to kind of form some basis and foundation to work from. And then I'll basically go outside in the afternoon and hang out with my friends, my boyfriend. He's got a huge garden, which is so cool. But yeah, make sure I do some sort of grounding or sound healing I think there's a lot of things we miss. We get so dug down into the pathology side of things that really health can be so simple sometimes, just like going outside. And as a naturopath, we kind of say that as vis medicatrix naturae. So, yeah.
Definitely. And I think, and that's what we, especially on the podcast, is this kind of connection to witchcraft, which is this kind of, it's connecting back to the earth. It's kind of being radical in that sense, that we are surrounded many times by stuff we already need. It's just recognizing and being more of aware and appreciative and grateful. So do you identify as a witcher at all, or any of the witch archetype?
Yes, I definitely do. Not in a sense that I feel like I can create magic, but I can in an indirect way, as naturopaths in Australia aren't regulated. And I feel like a lot of health professionals do fear our healing capabilities, and they don't necessarily believe in us. And like witches, shed in quite a negative light, but really witches are powerful and wise. And I feel like I have a really close naturopathic circle of friends who I went to uni with, about 10 of us, and we connect on a level that is just so powerful and quite spiritual as well. So when I'm in that circle and with those people, I do feel quite like a higher power. So I guess I do.
Sure. It's community medicine at its best. And I think health should be, it is, you know, there's a component of it that is very spiritual. You know, if you looked at the WHO, the World Health Organization, how do they describe health? And it most certainly includes spirituality. And that's going to be different for everyone. Just like many of these different health approaches are very individualized and very unique to each and every person. So I did want to talk about, which you did mention, supplements. Are there any supplements and herbs that are useful that you think for the skin, for cleaning the skin? And how do you find what works best for each patient? And, you know, are there any tests maybe that are beneficial to help you, to help guide you?
Yes, 100%. So like I was saying before, I will only prescribe nutraceuticals or supplements or herbals when I definitely think it's necessary. I always look at lifestyle and diet first, but when I know it's more than that, I will always recommend a zinc product. Zinc picolinate is best absorbed within our bodies. Zinc is so important for our innate immunity, decreasing inflammation, and the helping line our gut barrier integrity. It's really important, and often really low in acne sufferers. So I will always recommend a zinc product, and especially if they're on the OCP, that actually strips zinc, B vitamins, vitamin C, magnesium out of our system. So yeah, that's number one. And then I'll go to vitamin A. So vitamin A is extremely important for epithelial regeneration and you know, the hydration of our skin and making sure the barrier, the skin barrier is kind of connected. And they often, both zinc and vitamin A work in hand in hand. So I'll always do that. Probiotics, I'll always look at the gut health and usually prescribe a probiotic with the strains of Saccharomyces boulardii or Lactoferrin SB. And Bifidobacterium, yeah, those sorts of strains have been indicated in acne to downregulate systemic inflammation. And what else have I been prescribing? A lot of herbal depuratives, so Arctic and Lapa, Rumex, Crispus, and liver hepatics to make sure our detoxification organs are working, because that's where the waste and everything will be kind of detoxifying out, which we definitely need once when we're in such a inflammatory state. So, yeah, so hepatics that I'll prescribe would be Schizandra, Psyllium, Those sorts of herbs.
Yeah, those are great plants. So you did talk about vitamin A. I know vitamin A gets a bad rap. So
yes.
It really does. So not all vitamin A is treated equal. So what do you prescribe, or what do you really encourage for supplementation of vitamin A?
Well, it's actually in a blend of the probiotic. There's a beautiful probiotic out. It's called lactoferrin SB with vitamin A. So it's actually a small dose of vitamin A. I do also recommend topical vitamin A as well. But the milligrams are very small. I understand it's contraindicated in pregnancy and very frowned upon, but I think it's definitely needed, and it is such a small dose. The liver is actually very powerful and can take a lot. So in my opinion, I've never seen any adverse effects, and if their liver enzymes are raised, I will be cautious with it.
Yeah. And I know, gosh, I'm blanking on the name, but there are some supplements that are starting to make the market and being a little bit more well-known as far as the red algae goes, because mm-hmm. it's so high in those carotenes, those beta carotenes. So I'm curious to see it too, because I think more people are comfortable with the plant-based supplementation of vitamin A or some of those mm-hmm. algaes. So I guess we'll see where that goes, but
yeah, it's definitely becoming a trend in the health world, and I have been reading up on it, but with things like that, I do sit on the fence. I don't make I don't jump on board so quickly about it, because there is so much research coming up in with everything at the moment, so I'll just sit back and see what happens.
yeah, definitely. I'm always interested in those studies. But for topical vitamin A, what are you referring to?
So I use a retinol, just a retinol dropper. I think The Ordinary does have a brand, but to be honest, with the really harsh chronic acne, I do recommend, I know this might not please some people, but there's a synthetic retinol which is made by Differin. I'm not sure
yes.
if you've heard of it.
Yep.
Yeah, so just a tiny little dab. It has to be prescribed by the doctor, but a tiny, tiny bit on just the really pustular, quite aggressive pustules and inflammatory lesions. But obviously not lathering it on the whole face.
Yeah, I think maybe it was 2 years ago. We can now get it over the counter here. And it costs something like $11, which is really reasonable for a lot of people. Yeah. So that
is definitely not like that in Australia. You have to go to the doctor, and it's quite tough. You do have to push them to get it.
Really? Okay. Yeah, it seems to be standard here, and you can get all sorts of between creams and gels. It's pretty, you know, doctors are more than happy to write scripts, so those are pretty easy to get around here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess I want to ask you too, are there any other skincare ingredients topically that you think people should have in their routines?
Yes, 100%. So hyaluronic acid is definitely one of them. We actually regenerate hyaluronic acid within our skin ourselves, but there's definitely not enough for how the climate's changing. We have very dry skin. I haven't seen someone who doesn't suffer from dry skin. So even though they do have oily skin, when it comes like winter or your fall, it does get very dry. And obviously my clients be using foaming cleansers and benzoyl peroxide foaming gels and that sort of stuff. So hyaluronic acid is definitely one to put on as a serum after the shower when the pores are most open. So it penetrates into a deeper level and just provides that really hydrating moisture content. And also has been researched to increase collagen production as well. So at my age, we want to make sure we're doing that right.
Yes, I'm a big fan of that ingredient. And usually, you know, I thought for the longest time, though, my skin was so oily, but the fact was I just wasn't giving enough moisturization.
Exactly.
I wasn't bathing it enough, and I stay away from the foam cleansers, regular soaps, and I do pretty much most oil-based product, which seems to work so well for me, and it works so well for my clients. Sometimes they could turn around their acne in just dramatically in a week. It's just they were using products that were too harsh, far too dry.
It's so hard to get your head around why am I applying oil on my skin that's already oily. But when you actually explain and get it through your head that it's pretty much homeostasis. So when you've got, say, jojoba oil, a very small amount on your skin, it's closest to the same oil that our sebaceous glands excrete. So putting that on your skin at night, your skin's going to think that it already has enough oil and not produce that extra oil that we don't actually need. So so for the really oily types, I would encourage just getting a little bit of jojoba oil. And then if you're suffering dry skin, you can go in the richer oils like macadamia and avocado oil. But also, I think it's nicotinamide, B3 topical, has been proven to be very hydrating as well. So I've actually got that for myself, and my skin has improved a lot. But as far as topical goes, I actually don't recommend too many products. So less is best, but that's just how I feel. So when you're looking for a cleanser, we kind of want to read the label. If there's any products on there except for Latin binomials that you can't pronounce, I feel like you shouldn't be buying it. So any unnatural alcohols, the benzyl peroxide, the parabens, anything like that, I think steer clear of. And we're looking for that milky, the oily, and the nice feeling, not the stripping feeling. You don't want to feel too squeaky clean, if that makes sense. You want to feel hydrated.
Absolutely. Yeah. I tell my clients that if your skin is squeaky clean and feels tight, you are doing something wrong. You know, it shouldn't be like that. But yeah, I completely agree too. Using less products. And I, for HW Apothecary, I have my facial oil and I can cleanse my face, take off makeup, moisturize with it, of course, with putting hyaluronic acid underneath or a rose water. Even if you, if they don't have access to that, even just keeping your skin moist before you would apply it. It's just my skin likes simple and natural. Mm-hmm. And if I go to apply anything that's not, my skin reacts immediately.
100%. Yeah, I think we can be simple. The skin can be simple in a way, but we are putting all these harsh chemicals on it. We're not. But I know a lot of people want to put a lot of makeup on. They want to use all these stripping agents and all these anti-wrinkle creams. But when actually you really don't need that, it can be staying out of the sun is a huge one as well. So it can be simple, but we just make it complex.
But that's how the companies market. There's a cream for everything, for your ears, for your nose, for your elbows. It's so ridiculous.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so some of the ingredients. So could you walk us through a skincare routine that you maybe do in the evening? Just for a couple more details.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. So this has changed drastically from when I was, I would say 19. So I used to use very harsh chemicals on my skin, and the barrier of my skin is now affected by that. So now I use very minimal. I use a natural cleanser. I'll take my makeup off with coconut oil or some sort of micellar water, with just water or rose water, nothing too extravagant. And then once I'll cleanse in the shower with a very natural cleanser, nothing too fancy. I won't exfoliate or anything. I'll hop out of the shower while my skin is still wet. I'll put on the hyaluronic acid when the skin's still wet, and I'll rub it in my face. And then when that dries, I put this collagen serum on. It's just made of, I think it's ceramides and peptides, so what your collagen is actually made out of. And I'll put that on my skin. And then I'll put on a cream.
So what is that one, the peptides?
So it's actually through my dermal therapist, Shine Organics. So you can't actually, I think you have to see the dermal therapist to get it.
Okay.
So it's very special. very organic, plant-based. Yeah, she's amazing. Her name's Colette and she's in Perth. She's so great, so knowledgeable. So, yeah, I'll use that. And then I'll use my herbal cream that I've made up, which contains gotocola, calendula, and zinc and vitamin E, just a tiny, tiny bit because it's really thick. And then there, that's it. That's all of it.
Oh, I love it. That's great. So transitioning from summer to fall, what are some things that people should know in terms of their skincare?
Yes. So this is a big one. I think you, like Canada and US, will suffer quite dramatic because their winter is so harsh compared to us in Australia. It will get like to 20 degrees, like, oh, it's freezing. But I would make sure you're using those oils that I was talking about, the jojoba oil, the avocado, the macadamia, the rosehip oil. If you have oily skin, just use less. And then you put that on morning and night. In the morning, even less, because you don't want to be too oily. So that's just for the hydration. And then when you get home after work or whatever, try to put a humidifier on, because the heater can actually draw out more water from your skin. It's quite that fan forced air is quite harsh to our skin. So we want to put we want to increase the moisture and not kind of leave it so dry environment. And then I would probably say to not have extreme hot showers either. Just lukewarm if you can bear it, because yeah, we just want to nourish our skin because it has been through the seasonal change. But I wouldn't change too much, just more hydration. But if you're going into fall to summer, I would put on a little bit of SPF sun cream as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that should be applied anyway year round. Mm-hmm. At least the face and the chest, you know, and the neck, the really delicate areas.
Well, there's actually a little bit of controversy about that at the moment. Because we have such high vitamin D deficiency in Australia, there's a lot of people saying that should we be applying these 50 plus sun cream on, we're not making enough vitamin D. So people can argue that's a gastrointestinal condition, or that's people aren't going out in the sun enough. There is probably a combination, but I do think it's important to wear sun cream. UV radiation is probably, if not the number one cause of aging and skin damage. So I definitely think it's important.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up too. And usually in the spring, I'll just go and lay outside and get my 10 minutes of sun, you know, usually between 9 and 11 or a little bit earlier, just to kind of get that vitamin. But I always put sunscreen on my face or cover my face with a towel while I'm outside for those 10 minutes. And it really does make a difference too. And we're looking at supplements too. Not all vitamin D supplements are treated. They're not all the same. You know, there are high grade and there are low grade, and there's even your regular Ds or your vitamin Ds and vitamin K. So some people respond only to the D and K combinations and not the regular D vitamins. And there's just so much. But I do recommend to get your blood levels checked, go for a test to see where you're at instead of experimenting with all these vitamin D supplements and, you know. But you want to pay for more than you need, you know, too.
But, yeah, 100%. I agree.
Yeah. I guess you did talk about, actually, let's go and look at some of our biggest beauty offenders, whether it's dietary, lifestyle. Can you shed some light on that?
Yeah. So as I said, the sun is, if not number one cause of skin damage. My mum actually got diagnosed with melanoma last year, and it's been a really rough year. Actually seeing what actually happens if you do lay out in the sun. She was laying out in the sun in her younger years in baby oil. So, yeah, I guess it kind of caught up. But she's fine now. She doesn't have cancer anymore. So we're all happy.
Yeah.
But, the sun is definitely a very harsh offender. I would say alcohol and smoking come next. They're detrimental to health. The radical oxygen species, these sorts of things produce, are going to affect every organ in our body, especially our liver. And as you know, the skin is the huge excretory organ. So even though it kind of sits on the outer layer and protects us from all these environmental chemicals, we are punishing it by doing all this stuff inside of us. So, and there's only one way to come out, well, a few ways, but so I'd say those things are detrimental. I would say not washing pillowcases and reusing makeup brushes, foundation brushes. People don't realize the bacteria that's getting spread everywhere every day because we have a very nice microbiome on our skin. So if you keep on putting these harsh bacteria, it's soon gonna result in dysbiosis. And then I would probably say, even honestly, social media. I feel like social media is one of those offenders to our health and beauty. If you're constantly comparing your skin to everybody else, I mean, 80% of people suffer acne, and that's a lot of people, but you're not seeing that when you're looking on all these different apps. You're just comparing yourself to that other person. Everyone's got skin imperfections. I think that's huge detrimental.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. So, can you talk a little bit more about gut health as well? 'Cause I, you know, that's getting a lot of attention, especially everybody's talking about gut health, but what steps would you take to really improve gut health, and what does that mean for the skin?
Yeah, 100%. So our gut is extremely important with our skin. We have an axis that connects the both. So pretty much what happens if we are constantly taking medications, constantly drinking alcohol, eating those preservatives, those additives, the refined sugar, it's gonna increase the gap junction distance in our intestinal layer. So we have little junctions that sit next to each other, and they are really important from keeping the circulatory system out and the digestive system and what goes on inside. So when these gap junctions are affected, so they actually get into the things that we eat and the environmental toxins that we're exposed to gets into our circulation and cause immune reactions. And this immune reaction actually causes systemic inflammation and causes all the different cytokines and pro-inflammatory prostaglandins to make our skin kind of burst into these little pustules, or what people call acne, dermatitis, that sort of stuff. I mean, there's so many causes of acne, but to make those gap junctions tighter, we want to steer clear of all the things I just said. So, alcohol, smoking, medications, if you can. Glutamine has been researched to provide fuel for these gap junctions, which actually are called enterocytes. So, where glutamine is a huge one for resolving gut permeability, and zinc has been researched as well. We want to get in and out some prebiotic foods. So, prebiotic foods feed the good bacteria in our gut. So, they include Jerusalem artichoke, onion, garlic, just anything kind of fermented is just really good for our gut. And if you are having gut issues, I would seek advice from a naturopath, because it is very complex. It's not as easy as I'm sounding it to be. So there's a lot of investigations that you can do with your gut to see what is kind of happening in that sector.
Sure. So, Holly, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. But can you tell listeners where they can find you, a little bit more about you, if they want to connect with you?
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for having me. So you can find me on Instagram. As I said, I don't have a website yet. It will be coming. So it's under bare.unaturopathy, and I'm also working from Sanctuary Wellness and Medical in Port Coogee in Perth. And they also have a website, which is sanctuarywellnessandmedical.com.au. So yeah, you can find me there. I write little blogs and yeah, I upload little videos on my Instagram talking about different skin things, but also I'm very passionate about hormones and guts, not just skin. So I want to broaden my horizons as a naturopath. So yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you, Holly. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you all for listening to the podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Know that you can follow me on Instagram at health_witch_. Though I will tell you, I haven't been as active on Instagram as I usually am because I've just been so involved with working with other, talking with other, and doing research with other really healthcare professionals in the field. So these couple of months have been a time to really learn more and just really garner more knowledge the best I can. So I haven't been as active on Instagram, but with all the new information I'm learning, I am just thrilled to share it with you all soon enough. And I have noticed that I do get shadow banned on Instagram a little while or sometimes. I'm not sure what happens. But if you want to hear about all my latest information, events, other podcast snippets, and other links that I think are really helpful, that really share really good health information, you can subscribe at my website at healthwitch.org. And I'll send out newsletters with, again, some of the latest health information that I am finding. So everyone, be well, witches, and I will see you all or speak with you all very soon.